Good morning. If you would find your place in the Word of God in a few places this morning, Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 is going to be our memory verse this month. Also, Numbers chapter 1. If you find your place in Matthew 6, please stand with me. How many know Matthew 6:33 as a song? Oh, a few of you. All right. We'll try this. Remember, this is how I learn Scripture. Memorize Scripture is by putting it to song. And it goes like this. We'll sing it a couple times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, please. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's try without our Bibles. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity and privilege to hold in our hands the Word of God. Help us this morning, dear Lord, to study it, to apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us to give free rein to the Holy Spirit this morning to move among us, to speak to our hearts, to apply the Scriptures to our hearts. Use me this morning, dear Lord, as a vessel, and I have placed myself in Your hands. Everything that comes out of my mouth and my lips and my heart, I pray it gives honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we ask and pray. Amen. Numbers chapter 1, please. Numbers chapter 1. Again, we've been studying the life of Levi and his descendants. And what a study this has been. I hope you've enjoyed it, because I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Who would have known so much in the Bible is recorded about Levi and his descendants? And how we have seen how God has used this family in some mighty ways. And last week we left off with Moses as the man of God God had chosen to lead His people. And the Israelites left Egypt last week under the leadership of Moses. And as we saw last week, they were chosen by God. And God chose not only their leader, but He chose their path. He chose the duration they were to stay someplace. He chose the provisions that they were going to be eating and where they were going to be eating. He chose their stopovers. He chose how they were going to worship Him. That was the tabernacle. And how they were going to live for Him, the law. God chose all these things, but He also chose His priest or His religious leaders. But then we also showed you that we do not believe in predestination. God foreknows that we will serve Him. And He does know who is going to be saved, because He is God. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. But He gives us the choice. He created man with the free will to choose if we will serve Him or obey Him. And so we came to Exodus 32. And let me just read one verse for you here in Exodus 32, and then we'll start the lesson. In Exodus 32 and verse 26, Moses has been on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He has been communicating with God and communing with God and been given the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments God wrote with His own finger. And God tells Moses, it's time for you to go back down because there's trouble in the camp. And what has happened in the camp is this golden calf has been created, and they're worshiping this golden calf. And we come to verse 26, and Moses is pretty agitated. He breaks the tablets of stone from God. And he places a question to the people in Exodus 32 and verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Moses didn't just say this to the Levites. He said this to the entire tribe of Israel, all the tribes of Israel, all that were gathered there. And we looked at the numbers. It was over 2 million people in this camp. And who came to be on the Lord's side? Just the Levites. So they made a conscious decision, even though we had seen last week where God had chosen Aaron and his sons to be the high priest and the priest in the tabernacle, still they had to choose God. And here is the place in Scriptures that not only did Aaron and his sons choose God, but the entire Levites, all the tribe of Levi, chose to serve God. And so that's what brings us to this week in Numbers chapter 1. A lot has taken place through the remainder of Exodus, the tabernacle, where instructions were given, and tabernacle has been built. Then we come to the book of Leviticus. And you know, we saw that last week. It's not the book of Judicus or the book of Simicus, or you can put any other tribe name there. It's not that book. It is the book of Leviticus, because God has now set this tribe apart to serve Him, because they chose God. So we have the book of Leviticus that teaches us about how we are to worship God and serve God. And we come now to Numbers chapter 1, and look with me in verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt. They have been at Mount Sinai for almost a year, camped at Sinai, and serving the Lord and learning how to worship the Lord. They have been here almost a year. In verse 2 it says, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. For from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Now look with me in verse 47. Numbers 1, verse 47. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. And they shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister under it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. So what we have here going on is they're getting ready to number the tribes. And this is a very important section of the Scriptures, from Numbers 1 through Numbers, roughly starting at the beginning of Numbers chapter 10. A lot is getting ready to take place. God is preparing them for something. God knows what is coming, and He knows He needs to prepare His people for this. And you know, we give titles to our lessons. You know, this one is basically simply sandals, swords, sockets, and pins. You're like, what in the world? We'll get to it. But sandals, swords, sockets, and pins is what we're going to talk about today. My wife says, you come up with some weird lessons. So I'm just a weird person. So that's what we're going to look at today. Numbers chapter 1, they are getting ready to leave camp. They are getting ready to leave Mount Sinai. And God knows what's coming. Kadesh Barnea is coming. That is where they send the 12 spies into the promised land to go and scout out the land. And if they had come back and the report they had given, if the people had believed it, they would have entered the promised land and begun warfare. So now we need an army, because God knows we're getting ready to go to the promised land. Well, He knows they're not going to believe that report, but He's preparing the people. So we come to the place now that we see the law has been given. The tabernacle has been, instructions for its construction have been given. They have built the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons have been consecrated and anointed to serve in the tabernacle, only because they made the choice to serve God in Exodus 32. If they had not decided to be on the Lord's side, who would have taken care of the tabernacle? The children of Israel still camped here at Mount Sinai, but they're getting ready to move. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night is getting ready to start moving again. Here they have been and become comfortable in this area, but is getting ready to break camp. Kadesh Barnea is coming, and they must be prepared. So first, we must structure an army. And that's what's going to take place here in Numbers 1, and really 1 through 45, 46. Numbers 1 through 1, 45 through 46 is really what is taking place here. So let's look at this real quickly. In Numbers 1, we saw where God told Moses and Aaron to number the people. Males anywhere from 20 years old and up that are fit for warfare is going to be in the army. So verses 5, we see here are the names of the men that shall stand with you. So he's going to pick out a leader of every tribe. So we have all the 12 tribes listed here. And remember, the 12 tribes were of the children of Jacob or Israel, except for Levi, the third son, was not numbered as the tribe of Israel. And who else, class? What other son was not numbered in the 12 tribes?
Joseph
was not numbered, but his two sons were, Ephraim and Manasseh. So they took the place of Joseph and they took the place of Levi. So here we have the 12 tribes of Israel listed, and we have the leader given to us of each of these tribes. You know, the 12 sons are no longer alive. They have since passed on. And now we have a leader of these families that God has placed in charge of them. So that's what's going on from verse 5 through verse 16. Then we come to the numbering of these tribes. Look with me in verse 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, which are up or above, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their polls. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. So here we have the numbering taking place of each tribe of Israel. And that goes through all the way through verse 44. So it starts in verse 44 of chapter 1. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, which is the leaders of those tribes, being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered by the children of Israel, by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward. Remember, the Levites are not in this number. All that were able to go forth to war in Israel. So these are the numbers. And here in verse 46, it gives us the total of the males 20 years old and upward, excluding the Levites. Even all that they were numbered were 600,000, 3,000, and 550. 603,550 males, 20 years old and upward, were able to go to war of the Israelites. 603,550. Notice here, if we would spend time on this portion of Scripture, which we're not, we're really studying the life of Levi here, but if we would study this portion of Scripture, we would notice Moses and Aaron do not call for volunteers. They say, okay, you're of the tribe of Reuben, of Simeon, of Judah, bring forth your volunteers. No, they didn't ask for volunteers. If you were 20 years old and upward and fit for war, and in those tribes, you were drafted into the army. That's 603,550. They did not ask for volunteers. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are in the family of God. We're automatically soldiers in God's army. He doesn't ask for volunteers. We are soldiers. We are soldiers this morning. If you have asked Christ in your heart and you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a soldier in God's army. Now you're one of two types of soldiers. You're either an obedient soldier or you're a disobedient soldier. Look with me. Hold your place here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look with me in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We have been chosen to be a soldier. If you have saved and you have asked Christ to be in your heart, you're a soldier. And you are fighting the good fight, hopefully. You're either an obedient soldier or you're a disobedient soldier. to be able to live and be an obedient soldier and to the will of God that He has prepared you for, we must be strong, not in our own strength, but look what it says in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in who? Christ Jesus. We can't be a good soldier in our own strength. We have to be a good soldier in the strength of the Lord. And look with again with me. What is the purpose of this soldier? It tells us here in verse 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The purpose of a soldier in Christ's army is to please him. It's to please him through his strength. We could stop there for a while, but that's not our lesson this morning. The structuring of the army takes place. They are preparing to go to Kadesh Barnea. They are preparing for the warfare of entering the promised land. God is preparing them for that. And they must have an army. Here are the sandals. Get up, get your sandals on. We're getting ready to break camp, and get a sword in your hand because you have been drafted into the army. Now let's move on to Numbers 1:47. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. They have been separated and set apart for God's specific work because they chose to be on the Lord's side. But the Lord has spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle. Here is the job of the Levites that God has given them. In verse 50, but thou shalt appoint the Levites, not Aaron, not his sons, but all the Levites, over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levite shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standards throughout their host. But the Levite shall pitch around about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levite shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel, not just the Levites, but the children of Israel, did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. They were set apart for a specific work, these Levites. And here we see in these portions of Scripture what their work was. Let's break it down in little bits and pieces here so we can understand it. They were keepers of the tabernacle. They were to manage it. They were to tend to it. They were to be responsible and to take care of the tabernacle and every article within the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a figure or a type or a shadow of something yet to come in the future. To them, it was in the future. Look with me, hold your place here and go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you what it's a type of and a figure of. Hebrews chapter 9, look with me here in verse 1. Hebrews 9, 1. Then verily the best covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, that's the three things that are in the Ark of the Covenant. The pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, but which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Notice verse 8 and 9. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time when the present, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For at the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes and ever sprinkled the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is a figure of Jesus Christ to come. In the age of grace, which he has come now. The tabernacle, every detail of this structure, and how I would love to teach a lesson on the tabernacle. The Lord will not allow me yet, but I have taught a 6-month lesson just on the articles of the tabernacle and how I beg God to let me teach that here. And he just hasn't given me the go yet, the green light. But every detail of the structure, the materials, the furniture, the ministry in the tabernacle revealed some particular aspect of the infinite grace, virtue, attributes, personality, and work of our Savior. Every article, from the sockets that are holding the poles up that hold the tent around the tabernacle, to the very pins that are inside those sockets and those poles holding the structure up, to the articles within the holy place, and the articles when the Holy of Holy place, it all points to the Lord. Every article, even the colors, point to Christ. This is what the Levites were given to follow and tend to and manage. They were following and managing and tending to the future Christ. Let's just go through just a few here. The brazen altar, which is the first thing you come to as you enter the door of the tabernacle, the brazen altar speaks of Christ on the cross of Calvary. As sinners on the outside, we must enter through the door, and there's only one door in the tabernacle, and there's only one way to the Lord Jesus Christ. One way, and there's only one door. And guess what side it is on the tabernacle? The eastern side. Love the tabernacle. Then laver, which is where they washed their hands before they went into the holy place. The laver speaks of Christ as the eternal Word, the instrument of daily cleansing and separation. The table of showbread speaks of Christ as the bread of life, our sustenance. The golden candlestick, Christ is the light of the world. We learn to walk in the light as He directs our steps. The altar of incense, Christ is our interceding high priest. The veil that separates the holy place from the holy of holies, the veil points to Christ's body, which must be rent to give us access to God. And if you notice in the Gospels, when Christ died on the cross, it rent from the top down, not the bottom up. The Ark of the Covenant, Christ's supreme authority and kingly position in the finished work. And people say, well, there's only 6 articles in the holy place and in the tabernacle. No, there's 7. And what is 7? It's God's number, number of perfection. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, which is just a golden box, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the kingly position of Christ and His finished work, sets the mercy seat, where the cherubim are. And the mercy seat, when the high priest went in one time a year, he did one specific act. That specific act was to cover the law that was inside the tabernacle, inside the Ark of the Covenant, the 2 tablets of 10 commandments, the law that God gave Moses. The mercy seat sits over that. And what covers the mercy seat when the high priest goes in once a year? The blood. The mercy seat points to the blood of Christ, covering the law. His work is finished. We can't keep the law. The wood that's in surrounding the tabernacle, there are slats of wood around the tabernacle, points to Christ's humanity. The gold to his deity, the silver to his blood, the brass to his perfect holiness, the color purple to his royalty, the color white to his righteousness, the color scarlet of his sacrifice and blood, and on we could go. This is what the Levites were given to tend to manage, to be responsible for. Why? Because they had chosen God when no one else did. Numbers chapter 3, please. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near. God is calling them to himself here. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, and they may minister unto him. See, Aaron was chosen by God, and Aaron chose God. But not only did Aaron and his sons choose God, but all the Levites chose God. So God says, bring the Levites near unto Aaron, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. This is their jobs. This is their responsibility, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons, and they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel. Who said that? Verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, and I, the Lord, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opened the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levite shall be mine. God says that. The Levites are mine because they have chosen me. The Levites were giving instructions on where to camp. Not only how to do the service of the Lord, they were given instructions on where they are to camp and pitch their tents at night. And it was where? Around the tabernacle. Specific placement of the families of Levi. The Levites were positioned on the north and the south and the west sides of the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron and his sons are positioned directly in front of the door of the tabernacle. The priest, the religious leader, Moses, and the priest, Aaron and his sons, were camped directly outside the door of the tabernacle. And the other three sons of Levi, which we'll get to in just a moment, were camped on the north, the south, and the west side. Now, we know we're not saved by the priest. We're saved by Christ. And what tribe did Christ come from, class? Judah. Guess where the tribe of Judah was told to camp? On the east side, directly behind Moses and Aaron. Is that a coincidence? No. There is no coincidence in the Bible. God's placement of the tribe of Judah signifies that they, through the priest, were going through the door and are the door. There's so much symbology and typology here. The Levites, as well as the other tribes, were even instructed to their tribe's exact location when they marched. When the camp broke, every tribe was told where they were going to be marching and where the Levites were going to be by family. And that's in Numbers 10. So we're going to start again in Numbers 3, look at verse 14. I want to show you the families here and then we'll stop. The families of Levi, he had three sons. And it starts in Numbers 3, verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, the number the children of Levi. They weren't numbered in the beginning with the war and the soldiers and the army. They were numbered here by themselves. Number the children of Israel after the house of their fathers and by their families, every male from a month old, not 20 years old, but a month old, and upward thou shalt number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi. Their names were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the three sons. Somebody asked me that. Brother Wheeler asked me last night, how many sons did Levi had? After I figured out my rambling brain, there was three sons of Levi. Here's the sons. And these sons had families. So let's look at these families one by one. In verses 21 through 26, we see the son Gershon. And he had two sons, and they became the families of Gershon. So it was the Gershonites, which under the Gershonites were the Libnites and the Shimnites. And there were 7,500 males from a month old and upward of the Gershonites. They were told to be camped and pitch their tents on the west side of the tabernacle. So they're directly behind the door. On the other side of the tabernacle, they're behind the door on the far side of the tabernacle. And then a chief family and chief leader of those family was chosen through these verses, verse 21 through 26. And that son, that name of that chief of the family was Eliasaph. But they were given, this family of Gershonites, they were given specific instructions on what they were responsible for in the tabernacle. Remember, they're all in the service of the tabernacle. They're all tending and managing and tending and taking care of the articles of the tabernacle. Well, each family was given specific duties. The Gershonites are giving the tent structure, the coverings, the hangings for the door, the hangings of the court, the curtain for the door, and all the cords that touched those cords and those coverings and hangings. That was their responsibility. If something became frayed, they'd fix it. If something was wearing out, they would replace it. If something needed to be taken down when the pillar of cloud started moving or the pillar of fire by night started moving, they knew they were to break everything down, and that was their responsibility. They were to take care of it as precious things. And verses 27 through verse 31 of chapter 3 is the family of Kohath. They were called the Kohathites. And there were four sons of Kohath. And they were the Amoranites, which is Moses' daddy. And Aaron's daddy. And Miriam's daddy, Amram. So the Amoranites were of the family of Kohath. The Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzalites. 8,600 males from a month old and upward were of this family. They were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. The chief of the family was Eliaphan. Their responsibilities, though, were the Ark of the Covenant, the table of the showbread, the golden candlestick, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, and the hangings inside the sanctuary. It's the holy place and the holy of holy places. They were to take care of these articles. Then you come in Numbers 3, 33 through 37, the family of Merari. And there were two sons of Merari, Mahlonites and the Mushites. They were called the Maronites. There were 6,200 males a month old and upward. They were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. The chief of the family was Uriel. And their responsibilities were the boards that made up the walls of the tabernacle, the bars that held the boards in place, the pillars, look at the pillars. Well, we could spend some time there. The pillars throughout the tabernacle, the sockets of the tabernacle which held up the silver poles that held up the walls, all the vessels of the court that are around the brazen altar, the pins that went in the socket to hold the poles up, just a little pin, something like we would call like a cotter pin. They were all of silver. And all the cords that held up these portions. Look with me in verse 37 of chapter 3. And the pillars of the court, is talking about these responsibilities of this last son, Uriah. And the pillars of the court round about and their sockets and their pins and their cords. Every person's job was vital. If they lost the pins, the walls wouldn't stand up. And if the walls didn't stand up, you could have access into the tabernacle. Their job was important, just as much as somebody carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It was important that the tabernacle of the Lord go with the children of Israel. This was God's residence among them. This was where they could see God's glory come down from the heavens and come into the holy place. God was with them. So he instructed the priests and the Levites exactly how to dismantle it and how to reassemble it and how to carry it and how to march with it. Each detail about the Lord's work is significant. Each detail. We are not to leave that to mere human wisdom on how to handle anything. Everything that is responsible to God is of significance. And each person is vital to the work of the Lord, no matter what task God assigns you. No task is trivial, not even taking care of the pins to the sockets that hold up the poles that hold up the tent. Some Levites had heavier burdens than others, but God had given them the assignment, and He would enable them. Look with me in Isaiah 40 as we close. Isaiah 40. No task God has given you. God gave you talents and abilities upon your day of salvation. You are to use those in the service of the Lord. No talent, no ability is insignificant in God's eyes. Isaiah 40, how are we to do this? Look at verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching for His wisdom. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. No matter what task God has given you, as we are soldiers for Christ, and we are to do this through the strength of Christ to please Him, the strength comes from God. And no task that He gives us is insignificant to God. If you are told to carry the pins and take care of these pins, that's a significant job to God. Whatever God has given you to do, whatever service you are doing for the Lord, don't give up. Don't say it's insignificant. Don't say that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. God chose you for that particular task. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, I will strengthen thee. And one last verse, most people know it by heart, but let me read it to you. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If God has given you those pins or those sockets, or you're a soldier with a sword, let's put our sandals on and let's press forward for God. Don't think that you're not significant in God's eyes, because you are. He has chosen you for that ability. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson and how it touches our hearts to know that you have chosen us. You don't need us. There is not one aspect of your service that you need us, but you want our service. You desire our service. And you have placed upon us abilities and talents to give back to you, to please you. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us not to give in to the temptations of this world. Help us to brush Satan off our shoulder and say, get away from me, Satan. Help us not to give in. As we come to this time in our church, our annual time where we're signing back up for positions in the church to serve you, help us, Lord, to not say, oh, I'll just step aside. No. Now is the time to step forward. There should be no blanks on that, where we have those grayed out areas where we need people in positions that we don't have anyone. Help all of those positions to be filled. People stepping forward in the strength of the Lord to please God, not man, not self, not pride, but to please you. Help us to take those pins and guard them with our lives, to use them for the honor and glory of you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this study. Thank you for what you do for us every day. Bless our pastor as he's come forth in the next hour. Use him in a mighty way to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we ask and pray this. Amen.